James, the second chapter, verses 1 through 13 for our message on today, reading from the NIV. Amen. Let's read it together. My brothers, as believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, don't show favoritism. Suppose a man comes into your meeting wearing a gold ring and fine clothes, and a poor man in shabby clothes also comes in. If you show special attention to the man wearing fine clothes and say, here's a good seat for you, but say to the poor man, you stand there or sit on the floor by my feet. Have you not discriminated among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my brothers, has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom he promised those who love him? But you have insulted the poor. It is not the rich who are exploiting you. Are they not the ones who are dragging you into the court? Are they not the ones who are slandering the noble name of him whom you belong? If you really keep the royal law found in Scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing right. But if you show favoritism, you sin and are convicted by the law as lawbreakers. For whosoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking all of it. For he who said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not murder. If you do not commit adultery, but do commit murder, you have become a lawbreaker. Verses 12 and 13. Speak and act as those who are going to be judged by the law that gives freedom. Because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Amen. Again, part three, partiality in the pews. Amen. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Eternal God, now, Heavenly Father, we come to you right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we come thanking you for another day's journey. We come thanking you for life, health, and strength. Lord, we want to thank you how you watched over us and brought us safely through another week, oh, dear God. Lord, we want to thank you, oh, dear God, that you gave us a mindset to come to the house of prayer on today. Lord, we thank you for our brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. We thank you for the Zion songs that we've heard. We thank you for the scriptures that have been read. We thank you for the prayers that have been prayed. And now, Lord, as we come to your preach word, I pray that you will let your man servant down deep into the storehouse of your wisdom, your knowledge, and your power. Enable me, O the God, that I might be able to bring a word to these your people. Lord, I pray that I would decrease so that you might increase. Have your way in me and through me, O the God. And Lord, whatever you do here on today, Lord, we pray that you receive all the honor, all the glory, and all the praise. For this we pray in the marvelous, matchless, majestic name of Jesus Christ. We pray and ask it all. And the people of God said, amen. 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 You may be seated, and we're going to get right on into the message. Amen. Partiality in the pews. Amen. And we've said that in the house of God, we should have no big eyes and little U's. Amen. We all stand at the same level at the foot of the cross. Amen. Every person should be treated with respect and dignity in the house of God. Amen. Red, yellow, black, or white, we're all precious in his sight. God loved us so much that he created us. He made us in his own image. And at the right time, he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die for us. That's how valuable we are. We are made in the image of God. And Jesus himself came all the way down from heaven to die for us so that we might be redeemed, so that we might be part of God's family. Amen. And I'm so glad that we are saved by grace. Amen. The Bible said we are saved by grace through faith, and that's not of yourselves, not of works, lest any man should boast. So don't ever get proud. Don't ever get arrogant about your salvation. Amen. Don't ever look down your nose on anybody else. Amen. Because you're a sinner just like everybody else. Amen. And you are saved by the same grace of God. Amen. And when you think about your salvation, watch this, it should make you humble. Amen. When you think about your salvation, that the holy God of the universe saved a sinner like you, saved a sinner like me, it ought to make us humble. Amen. When you find a Christian who is proud, when you find a Christian filled with pride, when you find a Christian filled with arrogance, amen, it's because they are out of the will of God and they are walking in sin. Amen. Because when you are in the will of God and you see yourself like God sees you, amen, it will humble you. Because even the prophet Isaiah said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord, and he was high and lifted up. And Isaiah said, even though I'm a prophet, when I saw myself, when God showed me myself, he said, woe unto me, I am undone. I'm toe up from the flow up. So if you ever get a glimpse of God's glory and see God's holiness, you'll realize just how far you are off from where you need to be. Amen. So the only righteousness that we have is the righteousness of Christ. Amen. For he has made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, so that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We have right standing before God because God took his righteousness. Amen. The righteousness of Jesus and placed it on our account. That's the only reason why we are justified or have right standing with God. That's the only reason why we have a relationship with God, not because of your righteousness, not because of your holiness, not because you read the Bible enough this week, not because you prayed enough this week, not because you helped enough people this week, not because you've been singing and praising God all week. No, you are right with God because God took Jesus' righteousness and put it on your account, and the account is settled. Amen. Because of what Jesus did. And don't get it twisted, it's never about what you have done. It's all about what Jesus did for you. And then by the same token, he took, amen, your sinfulness, and he placed it on Jesus on the cross. And then God poured out his wrath on Jesus on the cross. And Jesus said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He forsook his own son because he was bearing our sin, amen. He became a sin offering for the world, amen. So God took our sins and placed them on Jesus and judged Jesus, amen. Therefore, I will not come into condemnation. I will not stand before the great white throne judgment of God. I've already passed from death to life. My name has already been written down in the Lamb's book of life. I'm saved and you can't take it, and I'm on my way to glory. Amen. 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 That's some good theology there. Amen. And that's why we are saved. We are saved by the blood of Jesus. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. The problem in our churches today, the problem in America, we got people who think they're too good. And we need to preach more messages on salvation and really help people to see that you are a wretch, undone, on your way to hell. And the only reason why you're sitting up in the church today is because Jesus saved your soul. You don't have a right to be here, so don't get it twisted. Don't put your nose up in the air. Don't think you're better than anybody else, amen, because you were so close to hell, you smelled like smoke. But God snatched you. Come on, somebody. I said God snatched you from the flames of hell. Save your soul. Save the wretch like me. Save the wretch like you. Songwriter said, I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. I thank God for his blood. I thank God for his grace. I thank God I'm saved. I thank God that he saved the wretch like me. Too mean to live and wasn't fit to die, but he saved my soul. He made me whole. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I just feel like testifying for a minute here. I'm glad he snatched me out. No matter how far you go out, he can reach out and grab you. Amen. No matter how far you go down, he can swoop down and pick you up. No matter how dirty you become, he can make you white as snow. So when we look at our salvation, even our sanctification. Listen, you couldn't brag about your salvation, and you can't even brag about your sanctification, because the same power that saved you is the same power that keeping you. How many of you know you can't keep yourself? We got so much stuff in us. Come on. I said, we got so much stuff in us. If it was not for the grace of God on the inside of us and the Holy Spirit keeping us straight, amen, we'd be crazy every day. Come on, somebody. I was sharing on yesterday, and we were talking about commitment and being faithful and being accountable. And at the end of the workshop, I said to Apostle Anderson and to those who were there in the training stuff, and you know what I told them? I said, when it's all said and done, I said, you can get the right training, you can go to the right schools, and you can do all that stuff you're supposed to do. I said, I don't know about y'all, but at the end of the day, the only reason why I'm still in service, the only reason why I'm still preaching,
The only reason why I'm still pastor is because the grace of God upon my life. Because I have messed up so many times. I tried to quit. I wanted to quit. But God said, your calling is bigger than you. And you can't get away from this. I'm saying it's the God in me. There's something bigger than me that keeps me going. That keeps me on the right track. And that's how you know you've been saved by the grace of God. It's not by my power, not by my might, but by his spirit. Something on the inside keeps standing me up on the outside. Yeah. And every now and then, God reminds you it's all about me. It's not even about you. I could have used anybody, but I chose to use you. Okay, come on. So, don't get it twisted. Okay. Excuse me. Okay. So the discrimination in the congregation should not be happening in the church. Amen. Not in the church. It may happen at the country club, but not at the church. It may happen on your job, but not at the church. It may happen at school, but not at church. How we gonna come to church and trip? Those that's been saved by the grace of God, how dare you come to the house of God with an attitude? Not in the church. The exhortation not to show partiality. And I put this picture here and I never mention it, but think about this. Jesus, nobody in the entire universe is bigger than Jesus. Nobody in the entire universe, amen, deserves more recognition and honor than Jesus. But Jesus, amen, girded himself, took a towel, got down on his knees, amen, with that towel and washed his disciples' feet. And you got the audacity. Come on, somebody. Great people are humble people. Arrogant people are stupid people. Stuck on stupid. Parked on dumb. And backed up on ridiculous. Come on. Exhortation not to show partiality. Amen. Jesus came all the way down from glory. Through 42 and some generation. Took off his royal diadem. Took off his robe. Good God Almighty. Got on a train called time. Rolled it down through 42 and some odd generation. And got up early one morning in Bethlehem. That's a whole nother sermon. Okay. The illustration about partiality. Seeding for the haves. I'm sorry, this is reserved for VIP. Well, baby, I'm VIP wherever I go. Come on, somebody. Don't let people make you feel like you are second class or third class because you're not in that little bougie circle. I'm VIP, baby. Amen. As country as I can be, but I'm still VIP. As broke as I am, I'm still VIP. Speaking Ebonics, I'm still VIP. That's right, baby. Don't get it twisted. Let me help some of you sisters. Well, as some of you brothers, you have to teach other people how to treat you. You don't treat me any kind of way. You don't talk to me any kind of way. Because if you die, I still live on. If you won't be my friend, I still live on. Come on, somebody. Don't you be going around crawling in front of people trying to get their approval. Amen. If anybody doesn't want to be your friend, that's their loss, not your loss. Come on, somebody. Have some self-respect. Have some dignity about yourself. I was talking to somebody not too long ago, and this person had a great husband. And after so many years of being married to a great man, amen. After 40 years, she decided to divorce a great man and walk away from the marriage and found somebody else. And when she put him on the junk pile, somebody else did a drive-by. And she said, Pastor Lewis, she said, I got a good man. I don't understand why his previous wife got rid of him. He's a real good man. She said, he's such a good man, I'm tempted to write her a letter and say, thank you, baby. I'm just saying, you don't have to put up with mess, because there's somebody out there who wants you. Somebody out there will treat you like a king. Somebody out there will treat you like a queen. Don't settle for less. Go for the best. Amen. My girlfriend went to Tuskegee and sent me a Dear John letter. And because she sent me a Dear John letter, Zeanne Lewis is sitting in the gold chair today. Come on, somebody. Don't you trip over stuff, because God got somebody else that'll recognize what you got in you. Somebody else appreciates you. You just got to find the right person. You don't need everybody approval. Watch this. If you will meet the right person, all you need is one person. Meeting the right person, one person can change your whole life around. That's why I said you didn't got to run around kissing up to everybody, trying to get everybody on your team. All you need is the right people. Get the right people on the bus and put all them crazy people off the bus at the next stop. Come on. So you've been on this bus long enough with me. Raising all kind of hell on the bus. At the next bus stop, if you don't pull the chain, I'm still open the door. You getting out right here. Your ticket said, this is as far as you can go with me on this journey, baby. Open the door, get out. Get off the bus and leave the rest of the trip up to us. Amen. Amen. So seating for the haves. Amen. And seating for the have nots, people impressed by wealth. Amen. Amen. And wardrobe and stuff. Amen. I don't know about you, but let me just throw this in for free. The longer I live, the more I realize that life is not about money. If the only reason why you live is to get money, you are one sick, miserable individual. Because if you have lived for any length of time, you know that money cannot make you happy. And when we get more money, we just want what? More money. And the same thing with clothes. Your clothes don't make you. I make my clothes. Come on, somebody. Talking about, is that Gucci? I'm trying to think of some names. I don't have no name brand stuff. I'm trying to think of something. Tommy Hilfiger, amen. That's why he don't sell to black people. Somebody else. FUBU. Come on. I'm just trying to think of somebody. Some of you designer people, maybe y'all need to come up here and I give y'all the mic, and y'all can tell us some of that designer stuff. Amen. But I buy what I can find on sales, or whatever Sister Lewis buys for me. I don't need no name brand, because my name is my brand. I said I don't need no name brand, because my name is my brand. And when I put on a suit, it's going to look good because I'm in it, not because who made the suit. I make the suit. Come on, somebody. Which means I can shop at Goodwill and still be fine. Come on, somebody. Go to the yard sale and still strut my stuff. Come on. Okay. Seated for the have-nots. Okay, seated for the have-nots for the people who have not arrived on time. You have to sit in the overflow. That's the only seating for the have-nots we have here, okay? If you don't get here on time, you have to sit in the overflow. Okay, all right. The condemnation for partiality, the exploitation of the poor, the choice of God, the callousness of the church, the cruelty of the rich. Now the application for the saints. That brings us to our message today. All right. Whew. All right. Real quick here. Got a lot to say. Now, James is saying to us, whether you're rich or poor, okay, as believers, we need to show love. Watch this. And love isn't about how you feel. We need to fix that right now. Let me repeat what I just said. Love is not about how you feel. Because if you've been married for any length of time, you know sometimes you don't have no feelings. Come on. You don't always feel like you were in love. Come on, somebody. Can anybody testify today? There are some days you feel like you're single. There are some days you want to be single. Some days you got to make yourself go home. You just got to aim the car in the right direction and let it go in the way that it should go. Come on, somebody. And there are some days when you get home, you don't even go in. You just say, let me just circle the block. I'm still not ready. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Let's just circle the block a couple times. I need to listen to that song again. Come on, somebody. Before I go ahead and deal with this person today. Because the angel in your arm tonight could be the devil in the moment. Come on, somebody. The same lips you kissed last night, you want to knock them off today. Come on. Come on, somebody. Now, come on. I know some of y'all can't relate to this. You had a perfect marriage, but I'm just talking about the other people. The rest of us still struggling. Amen. Some of us know what it's like to get the silent treatment. Some of us know what it's like to be told off and be reduced to your lowest common denominator. Reduce you down so low, you got to get on the step ladder to get up to a grain of sand. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Some people know about got to get a hotel room to stay for tonight because we don't want to kill each other this week. Somebody know what we're talking about? Sleep in the other room. Sleep upstairs. Sleep downstairs. Come on, somebody. Sleep on the couch, but sleep somewhere and wake up in the morning still alive. Show some love. So love isn't about how you feel, but it's an act of the will. Let me repeat that. Love is not about how you feel. It is an act of the will. I make a commitment to love somebody. A lot of people in bad marriages because you failed in love. That's why you still falling. You fail. Listen, love is a decision. You have to look at all the people who are out there, and then you have to pray about it, and then you have to make a decision based upon what you see are the available candidates. And then when you compare that person to everybody else, you say, this person is not perfect, but this person is perfect for me. And then you make a commitment to stay with that person. Amen. Because it's not enough just to make a decision. After you make decision, then you got to make a commitment to stick with your decision. I made a decision to marry Sister Lewis November the 5th, 1983. And from that day forward, I continued to make a decision to stay with her. And November the 5th this year, I'll make 30 years. Every day when I get up, I have to keep making that decision. I'm going home today. Okay. So loving people is not based upon a person's social status or anything else. All right, now the command to show love. We are commanded to show love. So this is not optional, okay? It's a command. Not to love people if you feel like it. You love people, period. It's an act of the will. I'm going to do what's in the best interest of you. Amen. I'm not going to do anything to hurt you. Amen. If you really keep the royal law found in Scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, you're doing right. And what James is saying is this. You don't have to worry about favoritism and partiality in the church if you just learn how to love everybody. Amen. Just learn how to love everybody. Don't have a special treatment for this group and another type of treatment for another group. You treat everybody like they're special. You treat everybody in here like they're a king or queen. And you won't have no problems. Amen, somebody. Amen. But we want to pick and choose who we're going to show love to. And that's nothing but sin. The royal law. The royal law is the law of love. A law superior to all other laws. Amen. Because when you obey the law of love, everything else will fall in place. If you show partiality, James says, you commit sin. And he allures to Leviticus 19:15, which prohibits favoritism to either the poor or the rich. Because we can discriminate against the rich as well as discriminate against the poor. Okay, so don't get it twisted, amen. You got to love everybody. And I love the fact that we have such diversity here at Rising Star. And you can have diversity and still have unity. I said you can have diversity and still have unity. It's just like the Neapolitan ice cream. You got diversity, but you still got unity. Some of y'all don't know what that is. Okay, let me explain it to you. You got chocolate, you got strawberry, and you got vanilla. It's all there in the same box. Amen. And some people like vanilla, but they don't like chocolate. Some people like strawberry, but they don't like vanilla, whatever the case may be. But just choose your side or your category. Amen. But I don't know about you. I like to mix it up. Amen. So that's what we have at Rising Star, Neapolitan. Amen. Amen. All right, let's move on in Jesus' name. The royal law is the law of our great king, which means that Jesus is our king. So he gave the command for us to love one another. He said, love one another just as I have loved you. He said, by this, not the cross that you're carrying, not by that big steeple on your church. He said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples when you learn how to love one another. Because everybody wants some love. It makes no sense for any church to be empty on Sunday morning. Not with all these hurting people in the world. And if the church can get good at showing love, they won't have enough room to hold people. Because people are looking for love. Amen. Amen. You can take a stray dog. If a stray dog will stop by your house and you show that stray dog some love and feed that dog, you can't get rid of that dog. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Amen. Look like we had every dog and every cat in the neighborhood because mama want to love them all. Amen. But people are looking for love. And unfortunately, a lot of people looking for love in all the wrong places. Amen. But they should be able to get some love when they come to church. Amen. So the Bible basically tells us if we love God and love our fellow man, we can do anything else we want to do. Because when you love God, you're not going to do nothing crazy. When you love people, you're not going to do nothing crazy. And that's why we have the Ten Commandments summarized in love God, love your fellow man. That's it. That's all you have to do. The only thing you have to do in your life as a Christian is to simply love people. That's pretty simple, isn't it? That's all I have to do. Love God and love people and throw the rules books away. Whew. I know that's heavy. I mean, everybody like, we processing that, huh? I mean, but that's pretty heavy, isn't it? Amen. And then we see this with the Good Samaritan. Amen. Because it talks about love your neighbor as yourself. You know, people start tripping. Well, who is my neighbor? The person living next to me? No. Whoever's in need and you have the ability to help them, that's your neighbor. That's your neighbor. Amen. Whoever you find in need and you have the resources to help them, that's your neighbor. Amen. Now, let me just say this. Don't ever let people say so much about you and do so many things to you that they make you hate them. Amen. Don't give nobody that kind of power, nobody that kind of authority over your life to make you hate them. I don't care what they said. I don't care what they have done to you. Always forgive. I don't care what they have said, what they have done, how many times they have said it, how many times they have done it. You always forgive people as soon as possible and let it go. Get it out of your system. Amen. It's just like, I know this is a bad illustration, but it'll help you. Just like when you go to the bathroom and do your business. Amen. You don't sit there and meditate over. You what? Let it go. I know this. I'm trying to help you see the picture. Amen. What happens if you don't flush and let it go? It starts stinking. The whole house is stinking. And when you have stuff against people and you don't let it go, you got a stinking attitude, a stinking character, and you pollute everybody in your little circle. You got the whole marriage polluted. You got the whole house stinking. You got the whole family reunion stinking. You got the whole church stinking. Flush it, baby. Flush it. Let it go. That you got that picture. Okay. Amen. Let it go. Amen. Love people unconditionally and let it go. Let me tell you what happens when you don't let it go. You become a Christopher Donner. When you don't let stuff go and you feel like somebody did you wrong and you got to get even. You got to get even with them. Amen. Don't get even with people. Get ahead. You know how you get ahead? You get ahead of people by taking the high road and show them love regardless of what they say and what they do. You don't get even, baby. You get ahead. So just keep on getting ahead. Amen. Keep on taking the high road. Come on, somebody. I'm too much of a man for that. I have too much dignity for that. I have too much respect for that. I have too much God in me for that. I can't get on your level, even if I want to get on your level. Amen. And I can say in all honesty, even though I have the gift of cussing in 26 years, amen, the second Sunday in January, I never cussed nobody out at Rising Star. I should have gotten a standing ovation if you'd have known Old Amos. I should have gotten a standing ovation on that one. Because by now I'm supposed to have shot at least three. No. Okay. Okay. Okay, now listen, listen. This is what I posted or pasted on Facebook. It said, what a tragedy end for a former cop and veteran. He is proof that gun violence solves nothing. It only made his life and the lives of others worse. He didn't die as a hero, but he died as a psycho. Regardless of what people say about you or do to you, violence isn't the answer. Violence only makes things worse. This is the reason why Jesus tells us to take the high road and turn the other cheek. When you hate someone, it poisons your spirit. When you love people unconditionally, you keep the poison out of your system. Let God deal with your haters. Then I quote Romans 12, 18 through 19. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. Listen, and when people do you wrong, they're going to get it. You can't mess with God's people and get away with it. So don't think that they're getting away with it when they say stuff about you and do things to you. Amen. God's going to get them. You let God get them, because when God gets them, they have been gotten. Amen. Because can't nobody fix a situation like God can. Amen. But we ought to learn from Dr. King. Amen. As we celebrate Black History Month, this is what Dr. King said. Dealing with all the stuff. I mean, he dealt with stuff that we cannot even begin to imagine. I mean, you know, somebody hurt our feelings and somebody said something about us or did something to us. What is that compared to what Dr. King had to deal with? Even Jesus' ministry was a little over 3 years, but Dr. King's ministry doing what he was doing was 13 years. And I'm just saying that in the face of all that violence, what they said about him, amen, call him a communist, I mean, you name it, a traitor, you name it. They called him everything but a child of God. He said, I have decided to stick with love. He said, hate is too great a burden to bear. Furthermore, he said this, we must develop and maintain the capacity to forgive. He who is devoid of the power to forgive is devoid of the power to love. There is some good in the worst of us, and there is some evil in the best of us. I need to repeat that because some people don't think they got no evil in them. I said, there is some good in the worst of us, and there is some evil in the best of us. When we discover this, we are less prone to hate our enemies. And I found out people usually hate people based upon ignorance. Fear and ignorance. Amen. Amen. Or another one would be jealousy. Amen. Now let me just put this in perspective, because I'm a work in progress. How many can be honest with me and say, Pastor Lewis, I'm a work in progress. Don't push me too far now. I'm a work. Come on, somebody. I'm a work in progress now. I'm a work in progress, okay? I'm not where I should be, but I'm not what I used to be, okay? Because there was a situation that happened this past week. Now, I don't know if I'm strong enough to handle this. Maybe you can handle this, but I just want to share this with you and keep going. But there was a woman with her son on the plane. And you know how the plane comes in for a landing, you change altitude and stuff, your ears start popping, little babies start crying and stuff. And a man got up demanding that the crying toddler, he said, shut that in baby up. A male passenger said to a woman sitting by him and then slapped a 19-year-old baby. 19 months. I'm sorry, I got so emotional I couldn't finish reading the sentence. Can you imagine being on a plane with your baby? And someone says something like that and go slap. Ooh. Did anybody feel something that's kind of like lightning kind of like, whoosh? I mean, I don't care who it is. I mean, you're going to slap my baby? What? Like I said, I'm a work in progress. Now, there are some things I go to jail for, ladies and gentlemen. I said, there are some things I go to jail for. In fact, there are a few things I go to the graveyard for. If you slap my baby, I'm going to be crazy. Now, let's just get it on out there. But he said he won't put no more on you than you can bear. So that's why nobody slapped my babies. I mean, not to be funny, but just think about that. How many of you feel like you're strong enough and you got so much God in you? You so anointed. And you so filled with the Holy Ghost that if I walked out there right now, I'd slap you. Thank you very much, Pastor Lewis. How about this cheek? Just me saying that, some of you, I wish you would. Come on. Come on out. Put the mic down. Come on out. It's going to be on like neck bones. I know you're my pastor, but you slap me, it's going to be on. I'm telling you right now, it's going to be on. And after I get through beating you up, Pastor Lewis, I'm going to pray for you, though, because I love you, man. You're my dog. You know? Okay. All right, come on back. All right, we're almost there. All right, carnal behavior. Okay, carnal behavior. But if you show favoritism, you sin and are convicted by the law as lawbreakers, okay, if you sin. But if you show favoritism, you sin. Two words used here for sin. If you show favoritism, you sin and are convicted by the law as lawbreakers. Okay. The first word used here, sin, is a lack of conformity to the will of God. It means to fall short, to not meet the standard. You miss the target. Okay. God sets the standard and we fail to meet the standard. So we sin. We miss the mark. We fall short of the standard. The other word is transgression. It is breaking a known law. God says, okay, here's the line. Don't go no further. And here we go. That's transgression, okay? One is coming up short. The other one is going too far, okay? And James says that when you show favoritism, you come up short and you go too far. Double trouble. So then we have what we call minor violations. And then we have major violations. But let me just talk about minor violation. For whosoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking all of it. Now, it's important to understand that in order for a man to be justified in the eyes of God prior to Jesus dying on Calvary, you would have to keep the whole law perfectly. The whole law perfectly. But we could not keep the whole law perfectly. Okay? So Jesus had to come and die for us. Are you with me? We could not keep the whole law perfectly, so Jesus had to come and die for us. Now watch this. All it takes is one sin to mess you up and send you to hell. It's not the number of sins a person commits that makes them a sinner, but it's the nature of sin, even a single sin, just as if a single piece of a jigsaw puzzle is missing. It ruins the entire picture. Okay? You know, just like you can have a beautiful smile, but if you have one missing, right? I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just trying to illustrate my sermon. But if you can, okay, y'all. All right, next. It takes only one bad apple to spoil the whole barrel. And again, a chain is only as strong as its weakest link. Not every link must break for a chain to fail. Only one link. Okay? Also, it doesn't require a bucket full of poison to kill a person. Only a small bit of poison can kill a person. Are you with me? All right. So in the eyes of God, when you sin, any one sin is enough to send you to hell. All right? Now we talk about major violations.
Okay, major violation. For he who said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not murder. If you commit adultery but do not commit murder, you have become a lawbreaker. Now, and I know some of this may be radical for you. Now, all it takes is one sin to send you to hell, because you have to live up to the perfection of the standard that God has set for you. That's why we are saved in Jesus Christ. He's our righteousness. Watch this. But the Bible does say that all sins are not equal. Stealing a candy bar is not the same as committing adultery. Okay, let me put it this way. Thinking about a woman is not the same as committing adultery with a woman. Even though thinking about the woman is a sin, if you're lusting in your heart, it is still not the same as actually committing adultery. You won't get no sexual transmitted diseases if you think about a woman. You won't catch AIDS just by thinking about somebody. Okay, y'all struggling with that. Which one would you rather go home and confess to your spouse? I was thinking about something. Or I did something. I bet you the results will be different. I mean, I'm not saying one of them's good and one bad. They both are bad, but I'm just saying. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? Okay, that's it. Now, they both are bad, but it's one thing to think and another. Okay, so some of y'all can't get with that illustration. Would you rather I think about shooting you or shooting you? Which one you would think would hurt the worst? Me thinking about shooting you? I know this is deep. I got to break this down. Okay, so I rest my case. Okay. All right, now let's move on to the next. So he says here, the command to show leniency, show love, and then show leniency. In other words, be lenient with people. Don't be so hard on people. In other words, lighten up. And that's what Jesus was telling the Pharisees, lighten up on people. You know, and I'm so glad that I'm saved by grace. And every now and then, you know, I don't say this bragging, but I'm a very disciplined person. And I really strive hard to live a holy life. And to live a life above reproach, and where nobody can say anything crazy about Pastor Lewis. I really work on that and not go to the wrong places and hang out with the wrong people and all that kind of stuff. But even with all that discipline and trying to live holy, every now and then I just mess up and fall short and don't be quite the father I should be. And I'm not quite the husband I should be, and not quite the pastor I should be, and not quite the student I should be, and right on down the line and stuff. And God reminds me that, Amos, baby, it's not about you. It's about my grace. It's not about your performance, because I got enough grace to compensate for what you can't do. And when you find yourself falling short, even though your heart is right, you find yourself falling short, it's still about grace. And watch this. And it humbles me. And watch this. And it makes me more understanding and compassionate when I have to deal with other people. Amen. Anybody, you ever bump your head, spiritually speaking, and God made you real humble, and now all of a sudden you can relate to other people? You talking about how bad other people's children were? Then you had some children? Yeah. How crazy other people's marriages are. Then you got married. I mean, y'all remember having them conversations. Boy, if I were married, I wouldn't take that. I don't know why you're putting up with that. If I were you, I'd leave tonight. And you married a crazy Tyrone and you still there after 30 years. As bad as he is, you still be saying, ain't no sunshine when he's gone. Okay, the leniency. Okay, let's look at the next one. So be mature, speak and act as those who are going to be judged by the law that gives freedom. Okay, so be mature in what you say and what you do. Because guess what? You want to be merciful to other people, because someday you got to answer to God yourself. And when you're hard on other people, when it comes your turn, guess what? They're going to be hard on you. Amen. So if you got an error
in dealing with people, you know, and I know this is my weakness as a pastor. Y'all tell me this all the time. You know, Pastor Lewis, you try to help everybody and you try to say yes to everything everybody wants to do. And that's my weakness. And, you know, and I'd rather err on the side of trying to help everybody and trying to give everybody an opportunity to do something than to not help people and to not empower people to do stuff. I'd rather err on the side of leniency. Amen. All y'all didn't clap, so y'all been the mean ones. Okay, no, I'm just kidding. No. Okay, be mature. Be mature, okay? And then the next one, be merciful, okay? Because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful, okay? Keep that in mind. And mercy triumphs over judgment, which simply means that you got judgment here and you got mercy here, and mercy will win over judgment. God is always on the side of mercy. That's why he said, he that without sin, do what? Let him cast the first stone. And if you remember the story, nobody threw a stone because everybody had issues. And the Bible says from the oldest to the youngest, they walked away one by one, because the older you live, the more merciful you ought to be, because you got a long track record of messing up. Come on, somebody. That's why when you sing Amazing Grace as you get older, amen, you know about grace. Come on, somebody. Amen. Amen. Been there, done that. It's just like, I was trying to think of a good illustration. I was going to use poker, but I never played poker. But I played 21. So if I got two cards, an 8 and a 7, that's what, 15. And then if I get two 10s or a 10 and a 9 or whatever the case may be, my 10 and the 9 would trump your 15. So when it comes to the game of life, God's mercy and grace will always trump over judgment. Now here's a story to keep in mind. I'll tell you 12-ish, I'm almost there. Give me two more minutes. Okay. A young couple moves into a new neighborhood. The next morning while they are eating breakfast, the young woman sees her neighbor hanging the wash outside. Apparently this had to be in the 60s. It's an old story. So I'm like, hanging laundry, what's that? Okay, listen. That laundry is not very clean, she said. She said she doesn't know how to wash correctly. Perhaps she needs better laundry soap. Her husband looks on, but he remains silent. Wise man. Every time her neighbor hangs her wash to dry, the young woman makes the same comments. A month later, the woman is surprised to see a nice clean wash on the line and says to her husband, look, she finally learned how to wash correctly. I wonder who taught her this. The husband replies, I got up early this morning and I cleaned our windows. Uh-huh. We got a lot of people looking at other people and seeing all the things wrong with them. But maybe, baby, your window is not clean. Maybe the problem is with you and not other people. Take a look at yourself before you start judging somebody else. Mm. Now, let me, a couple more things here real quick. I got to say this because this is real good. Okay. Christianity, because we're talking about the first century, and what happened in the first century is pretty much what's going on in the 21st century. Now listen to this real quick. Christianity grew and developed in confrontation with an environment that breathed hostility to its doctrines and practices. And that's where we are now in the 21st century. We live in an environment where people don't want to hear our doctrines and they don't believe in our practices. And they call us self-righteous and narrow-minded and all this other kind of stuff. Now listen to this. A chief reason for its triumph, talking about the triumph of Christianity over the pagan religion of the first century and on, okay, a chief reason for its triumph was the superior moral practice of Christians. The lives of early Christians showed that accusations against them were lies. Watch this. They fed the needy, accepted the outcast, buried the poor, cared for orphans and the aged, encouraged prisoners and victims of disasters, and showed compassion on those who were persecuted. Their lies prove that Christianity produced a superior character. This is still the best proof of the reality of our faith. May God enable us today to make a bold demonstration of our mercy to others. And I close with this. God, you know, Baptist got three closing. Here's the third closing. Listen, God has no favorites. All of his children are special. A few years ago, story is told, I was having dinner with some people in their home. I noticed some paintings on the wall. To me, they weren't very impressive. In fact, some of them looked like they had been painted by a child. They were abstract and modern. And it appeared like paint had been just thrown here and there. But later that evening, the owner mentioned how he had paid over $1 million for just one of those paintings. I looked at it again and thought, wow, that's beautiful, isn't it? I found out it was an original painted by the famous artist Pablo Picasso. What dawned on me that night was not so much what the painting looked like, but rather who the artist was. A painting gets its value from its creator. In the same way, your value doesn't come from what you look like. Your value does not come from what you have. Your value does not come from who you know. But you are a masterpiece in the eyes of God because you have been created by God himself. You've been made in the image of God himself. And then he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to hang on a cross and to die for you and get up the third day with all power in heaven and in earth in his hands. Every person in here, regardless of how you dress, how much money you have, what you know, where you've been, every person in here, you are a divine masterpiece. And don't let nobody ever treat you like a second class citizen. You are somebody in God. So hold your head up high. Throw your shoulders back. Stretch your stuff and say, I am a child of God. I am somebody. All right, I'm done. Come on.
Thank you for listening to today's message. We hope today's word has been a blessing to you. You can purchase this and other messages through the A.L. Lewis Ministries bookstore.